You won't believe this. Mrs. Durkheim's husband's lawyers, K and B, get out the shovels, had her served with the divorce summons while she was having lunch with a friend at Golightly's. I almost fell off my chair. I would have been less surprised if one of my regular clients told me he had offed someone during lunch at Golightly's. Down to business. I met with Mrs. Durkheim this morning at 10:30. I think I did okay. At least I didn't bungle it, which was a possibility given my deficits, legal and human. Mrs. Maria, Mia, Mather Micklejohn Durkheim has retained the services of the firm, but not me, as I explained to her, to represent her in a divorce action against her husband, Dr. Daniel E. Durkheim. She signed the fee agreement on the spot, barely glancing at the terms. I advised her against this, but met stubborn resistance. The interview took an hour, the discussion of the laws and the retainer another hour, and the form filling a half hour. I billed her account $375 for 2.5 hours of work, a first for me, not my usual $50 plus costs. I taped the interview and asked Hannah to transcribe it, so Fiona, Felix, you won't have to start all over again. It gave me a taste of how your generation of lawyers works, dictating into a machine and then having the secretary transcribe it. Associates type their memos and their briefs, too, and even do all the formatting. I'm not being ageist, merely observant. My box of tissues went unused. Mrs. Durkheim did not vent. She was composed, collected, articulate. While she answered questions willingly, easily, she expected me to take the lead in the interview. She asked me to summarize the law and explain her options. I came clean early on and told her I was pinch-hitting for the firm's ace divorce lawyer who was out of town. She seemed fine with that. I asked her questions about her marriage, the family's finances, her daughter. She was very knowledgeable, no baby wife, she. I was able to pull together a rough chronology, synchronizing salary history and marital history. See the divorce worksheet, summary biographies, for both Durkheims. I explained Narragansett's no-fault/fault statute and the principle of equitable distribution in dividing property and awarding support. I told her she could not effectively contest the divorce or refuse to cooperate. The parties do not have to agree to a divorce. If one of them wants out, she can get out. Not like a get, she said. I said it was in her interest to cooperate. A divorce, I explained, is simply a civil action which dissolves a civil union and allocates property, obligations, and progeny. It does not provide closure or any other cathartic function. I get it, she said. It's only about money. I gave her a brief rundown on custody, best interest of the child, and explained the difference between joint and sole, legal and physical. I told her that most divorces were settled by negotiation, not trial, and that the parties could make any agreement they wanted, so long as it wasn't against public policy. I did my reading, but reading isn't experience. By the way, I didn't bill for the 2+ hours I spent doing homework last night. It didn't seem right. A real divorce lawyer would have known it all. If anything I said was incorrect, Fiona can set her straight. I told her she had 2 options. She could wait until her husband made her an offer, or she could make an offer to him. I gave her a copy of the divorce worksheets and told her to take a stab at pulling together a projected annual budget post-divorce for herself and her daughter. She said she would do whatever was necessary,